Good morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you today. Just as a body, just to honor and celebrate what the Lord is doing in our lives and doing through our lives. And just good to be with you today in the house of the Lord. Amen. And you know, I really enjoyed the worship and enjoyed the special music this morning, and just very anointed by the presence of the Lord. So why don't we just give the Lord a hand clap, Ruth? Thank the Lord for his presence. What would church be without the presence of the Lord? Amen. Well, this morning, I want to talk to you about what goes up must come down. What goes up must come down. Amen. Go with me to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Beginning with verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Then the Lord said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering, one of the mountains which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkeys. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back down to you. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, you put a word in my heart this morning, and I just pray, Lord, that with the simplicity and the clarity that you've spoken it to my heart, Lord, you would help me to convey it, God. Lord, sometimes when we receive a word, we don't always know why it's for that particular time, Lord, but yet there's just a confidence in our heart that, Lord, you know this times and seasons that people are in and a word that they need to hear. And Lord, I just stand in a confidence in your word today, God. Lord, open up our hearts. Let there be humility in our hearts. Lord, your word is like water. It seeks the lowest places, and that's where it bears the most powerful fruit. Lord, let humble hearts hear your word this morning, God, and write something deep in our heart. And we thank you, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we read in Genesis, God tells Abraham to take his only son, Isaac, and go on a three-day journey to a mountain called Moriah, and there offer him to the Lord as a sacrifice. And I know that had to be a very painful place in the life of Abraham. I know it had to be a very painful 3 days in the life of Abraham, probably on the brink of excruciating pain. Just the thought of taking his son and binding him with cords and laying him on an altar, and then taking a knife and slaying his son, had to be something that was very excruciating in the life of Abraham. But yet, as painful as it was, there was something that lived in Abraham's heart as he took that journey. There was something, there was a mindset that Abraham went on that three-day journey with. And I think we see it in verse 5. So look with me again at verse 5. And Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkeys while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." And I really want to emphasize those words. Abraham said, "We will come back to you." In other words, he's saying, we're both going up the mountain together, and we're both coming down the mountain together. And this really tells us about the mindset that Abraham journeyed with. This really tells us about the faith and the belief that was in his heart while he made this journey. And I really want to look at this mindset, and I really want us to understand this faith that lived in his heart. So go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Look with me at verse 17. Verse 17 says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he whom he received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In your seed shall be called, in Isaac your seed shall be called.'" Verse 19, "concluding that God was able to raise him up from the dead." So Abraham went up the mountain. And when he went up the mountain, there was a belief in his heart that even if God has to raise him from the dead to keep his promises, God will raise him up from the dead. Because all the promises that God gave me are in Isaac. So even if God has to raise him from the dead to keep his promise, he's going to raise him from the dead. So when Abraham went up the mountain, here is what was in his heart. Even if God must raise him from the dead, we're both coming back down the mountain. You see, I believe with all my heart, Abraham believed he was going to have to carry through with killing his son. I believe with all my heart there is no expectation in his heart that an angel is going to show up. He just did not expect that. In his heart, yes, I'm going to have to go through with this. I'm going to have to put him on the altar, and I'm going to have to slay him on the altar. But even if God has to raise him from the dead, Isaac will come back in resurrection power. Even if God has to raise him from the dead, Isaac will come back down the mountain with me in resurrection life. And here's the truth I'm conveying this morning, and I'll expound on it as we go, but here's the truth. Whatever I offer up to the Lord is going to come back down in resurrection power. Whatever I offer up to the Lord is going to come back down in resurrection power. Now, let's ask a question. Who is Isaac? Well, there's so many ways we can answer that, so many definitions that we can give to Isaac, but for what's in my heart, this message is simply this. Isaac was a promise from God. Isaac was something that God had promised. You know, God had a plan for Isaac in the earth. He had a purpose for Isaac in the earth. So it was a promise that he gave to Abraham. Isaac was something that came from the heart of God. Now, here's my point. I want you to capture this because here's my point. There will be times God will tell us to offer back to him God-given promises so that he can put them to death. There's going to be times God's going to ask for God-given promises. I need you to give me those God-given promises back because I need to put them in the place of death. Now, right here, somebody would say, "But Pastor Tim, you're missing part of the story. Don't you remember that as he had the knife raised, he didn't have to put him to death. The angel intervened. The angel said, I know that you fear the Lord. So withhold your hand from harming the child. Pastor Tim, aren't you missing that part of the story? I am. But can I tell you something? That doesn't always happen. There are times we feel like the Lord wants us to put something on the altar. There'll be times the Lord will tell us to put something on the altar because I have to carry this to the place of death. And we obey, we put it on the altar, we have the knife raised, but yet our eyes are in heaven saying, God, any time now you can show up and say, I know you love the Lord more, so you can just keep it. I know you fear the Lord more, so, you know, put the knife down. You can just keep it. But sometimes we're holding that knife and he doesn't show up. And sometimes he doesn't show up because he's expecting us to finish the job. In fact, if we could hear the heart of the Lord, he would be lovingly saying, what are you waiting for? Plunge it. But God, you gave it to me. What are you waiting for? Plunge it. But Lord, it's a promise from God. One I waited for a long time for. If I could just add that. What are you waiting for? Plunge it. You know, when I was just a small boy, this passion came into my heart to write. I love to write. And when I was just in sixth grade, every Saturday, my mother would buy me a new notebook, and by that following Friday, it was full. In fact, speaking of my mother, the last time she was here, she brought me a picture, and I planned to put it on the overhead this morning just to emphasize my point. But how many of you know you can have something that you treasure, something so special to you, you can decide, I don't want to lose it, so I'm going to put it in a special place, and then you forgot the special place you put it in, and then you lost it. Well, that's what happened to me. And after this sermon, I have to go home and find that picture. But it was a picture of a desk that my father took out of his pastor office and put it in my bedroom so I could have a place to write. And I spent countless hours at that desk writing. And when I entered high school, my mother began to encourage me, Tim, let's enter some writing competitions. And with her encouragement, this very bashful, fearful writer entered some competitions. And I have to tell you, I did pretty good. In fact, the very first writing competition I entered was a short story competition. And I took first place in county. Took the first place in county. Yeah, I was a pretty decent writer. And when I got saved, the Lord immediately spoke to my heart. And he said, Tim, one day I'm going to use that gift because I put that passion in you. That passion to write, I put that passion in you and I'm going to use it. 2 years go by, 3 years go by, nothing. 5 years go by, 6 years go by, nothing. 15 years go by, 16 years go by, nothing. And I remember going to the Lord and saying, Lord, did I hear right from you? You know, writing is a passion of mine. I thought you said that you were going to use it for your glory and your honor. Did I hear from you? And the Lord spoke very clearly to my heart. And he said, Tim, put it on an altar and let it die. And I got to tell you something. It is very painful and a very broken place for me because, in other words, the Lord is saying, it's going to be a lot more years before I decide to use it. God. I've already waited 16 years, and now you're telling me there's many more years I'm going to have to wait. And the Lord said, put it on an altar and let it die. And I'm going to leave the story right there with just a very broken, disappointed man. But I will finish the story. Amen? But here's my point. There will be times God will require us to take God-given promises and give them back to Him so He can put them to death. And these can be very painful times. These can be very broken times. But at the same time, I realize now why God does it. And I really want you to capture this because I think it's very powerful. I realize now why God does it. You see, when God requires us to put God-given promises on the altar to die, God is saying, I know I promised it to you, but if you don't let it die, it's not going to return in resurrection power. If you don't let it die, it's not going to return in resurrection might. If you don't let it die, it's not going to return in resurrection glory and strength. But if you will offer it up to me and let me carry it into the place of death, I will raise it from the dead by filling it with resurrection power. Yes, I gave you that promise, and I want that promise to live, but I want that promise to live in resurrection power, because if it's not living in resurrection power, it's not going to produce anything with resurrection life. Therefore, I must put it to death so I can raise it up in resurrection life. Understand, God's going to put promises to death so He can raise them up in resurrection life, because only resurrection life can produce something with eternal value. Whatever God promises us, it's a promise that's going to produce something of eternal value, but it can only produce something of eternal value only if it's living in resurrection life. So God has to give us promises, and then He has to take those promises, and He has to absolutely put them in a place of death so He can raise them up in resurrection life. Listen, only those things that are breathing with resurrection life can produce something that's going to have value for eternity. And that's why He has to do it. So now the question is, what promises have God given you that He's now putting to death? Has He made promises about relationships He's now putting to death? Has He made promises about your children that He's now putting to death? Has He made promises about your ministry and your calling that He's now putting to death? There are so many examples we can give, but only you know the promises God has made you. But they now seem to be in such an incredible place of death. You know, I think the one promise that we all receive from the Lord is the promise that our life is going to tremendously impact God and our generation. I think when we're walking with the Lord, and we love the Lord, there just comes that realization, you know, I'm here for a purpose. I'm here for a reason. And that reason is out of this place of intimacy with God. He really wants to use my life to be glorified in my generation. He really wants to use my life in great strength and in great power to impact my generation for Christ. You know, I can't help but think about Joseph in Genesis. You know, there came a day that God began to speak to him in dreams. And when you look at his dreams, what God was simply telling him is this: one day I'm going to raise you up in a place of great position and power, and you are going to make a mighty impact for the glory of God in your generation. You know, those dreams that God gave him, it was just God saying, I'm going to phenomenally use your life and your generation, and God is phenomenally going to be glorified in and through your life. I can't help but think about Joseph in that light, but at the same time, I also like the way Pastor Carter Conlon put it. You know, Pastor Carter said that about the time Joseph received his promise, he also received a pretty coat from his father, the coat of many colors. So he had a promise and a pretty coat. And Joseph thought, I'm going to take my promise and my pretty coat, and I'm going right to the palace. You know, Joseph envisioned his life, you know, I'm headed for the castle, and in one hand I got a pretty promise, and the other hand I got a pretty coat, and we're just going to move right into the castle. But suddenly he found himself stripped of his pretty coat, thrown into a pit, torn from his home, on his way to Egypt, not as a mighty prince, but as a slave. And something had to come into Joseph's heart that said, this is not how I envisioned my life. And I believe some of us start out with vague visions of how we feel like God is going to use our life. We have somewhat of a picture, you know, of how God is going to use my life. You know, with a sincere heart, we make those altar calls. Oh, God, I totally lay down my life, not my will, but your will be done. Lord, would you just take my life in your hands and begin to use it for your honor and your glory? And we just have a vague vision of how that's going to happen. We have this vision of how God's going to use my talents, how God's going to use my abilities, how God's going to use my strengths, you know, how he's going to use my talents and abilities and strength for the glory of God. We just have this vague picture of how we think it's all going to turn out. But suddenly, instead of a palace, we find ourselves in a pit. Suddenly, instead of bringing others into freedom, we ourselves are in a prison. Suddenly, instead of finding ourselves in a place of great light, we find ourselves in a place of great darkness. Suddenly, instead of power, we find ourselves in tremendous weakness and frailty and brokenness. And something comes into our heart that says, oh God, this is just not how I envisioned my life. Why all the brokenness? Why all the pain? Why all the suffering? Why all the grief? This is just not how I envision my life. This is not a picture of the strength and the power and the impact that you promised me in your word. God, what about Daniel 11:32? Those who know their God will be strong and do exploits. This looks nothing like that. What about 2 Chronicles 16:9? For the eyes of the Lord going to throughout the earth to find someone with a sincere heart that he can show himself strong through. God, this doesn't look anything like that. Instead of great strength, it's great weakness. Instead of great power, it's great frailty. God, this doesn't look anything like that. Doesn't look like anything of the strength and the power and the impact you promised I would have on my generation. Don't look anything like that. But oh, beloved, I got good news for you. Though it's not an easy path you are on, you are on a path of being raised up in resurrection life and power. Listen, I don't know how long it took for Joseph to figure out, but one day the understanding came. For the promise to live in resurrection life, there is a death I must pass through. Yes, God gave me the promise, but God must take it into the place of death so he can raise it up in resurrection life. Beloved Paul wrote it well when he wrote, always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus might also be made manifest in us. Paul wrote it well when he wrote, for though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak, very weak in him, but live with him by the power of God. Beloved, don't let the modern day theology fool you. Even as Christians, there is a death we must pass through if the purposes and promises of God are going to rise and reign in resurrection power. Paul said it best in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 12. So death works in me, but life in you. The reason why you're being touched by resurrection life through my ministry is because there's a death that's working in my life. It's actually life coming out of a place of death. So death works in me, but life in you. Now, I know it's a short message this morning because I don't need a lot of words to make my point. So I want to conclude with this. Amen. Now that I got everybody looking at me glum, I want to conclude with this. We're in Hebrews chapter 11. Read with me verse 17 through 19 again. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Now look at verse 17 again. It says, by faith, Abraham. And I really want to emphasize those words, by faith, by faith, by faith. You know, in our world today, we have a law, and it's called the law of gravity. And the law of gravity is simply this: what goes up must come down. And in God's spiritual world, he has a law, and it's called the law of faith. And the law of faith is simply this: anything I offer up to God in faith must come down in resurrection power. Anything I offer up to God in faith must come down in resurrection life. Even in God's economy, what goes up must come down. Now, let me finish my story, if you don't mind. You know, we left off with me sitting in a very disappointed place. Because the Lord told me, you know, that passion I gave you, that promise I gave you, you're not going to see it for a long time because it has to go to a place of absolute death. That's where we left it. But a very short time ago, I was just sitting in my office, just doing my everyday chores, and a knock came at the door. So I got up and I answered the door, and in one moment of time, God began to crack that door. He began to crack that opportunity for me to write, and not just write, but actually be published so people can read it. Just a little door. But I could see a little light. God is beginning to open that door. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, what took you so long? And here's the answer he plainly gave me. In order for you to write, you have to have something to write. And through all those years of trials, and through all those years, your faith being tested, I wrote my word in your heart, and now you have something to write. Now you have something to say. In order for you to write, you got to have something to write. And that takes a journey. Trials, tribulations, hardships. So you don't just write about the faithfulness of God out of some kind of head knowledge. You've got an experience with God, and that's what's going to touch people's lives. Future worship leaders, you don't just get up here and sing songs and lead worship. There's a journey you have to take with God. Because if your worship is going to touch the people, it's got to come out of an experience with God. If you're going to lead people in songs about his faithfulness through the journey and blessed be the Lord and the times of goodness and times of sorrow, you've got a journey you have to walk. You can't just get up and sing songs. It may start there, but there's a journey you have to go on. Amen. And that's why the Lord does it. He'll give you promises, but then he says, I have to put them in a place of death so I can raise them up in resurrection power. Because only resurrection power is going to produce something eternal for the kingdom. Amen. So my question is, so what about you? What do you have? Do you have anything you need to offer up? Do you have anything you need to release to the Lord? Is there something you are holding on to so tightly? Is there something that the fear of losing is causing you to keep a tight grip? Well, God, I'm afraid to let this go. One, if I lose it. One, if you don't give it back. God, I'm afraid to let it go. God is speaking, trust my goodness. Trust my faithfulness. Whether I keep it or give it back to you, my plan is best. It is a good plan. It is a powerful plan. It is a fulfilling plan. What are you holding so tightly to? You need to release it to me with all the fears that go with it. And just trust me. You know, sometimes what keeps our grip so tight around something is fear. It's the fear that keeps my grip so tight, because what if he don't give it back? What if it's not his will? What if it's not his plan? What if my dreams is not his dream? What if my ambition is not his ambition? What if my personal agenda is not his personal agenda? No, I'm so afraid of losing it. But the Lord is saying, you have to trust me. Whether I put it in a place of death and take it, or put it in a place of death and give it back to you, that's not the question. The question is, you got to trust me. There is a cost to following plan A for your life. But my goodness so outweighs the cost. And I can say that from my journey with the Lord. There are things it has cost me. But I'm telling you, God has been so good to me. And I can tell you, the things that I've had to put on an altar and let die, and he didn't give back, I'm telling you, his goodness so outweighed the cost. And so I guess I'm asking the question, what are some things that you just need to release and give to the Lord? What about your life? What about your life? Are there still personal agendas I'm holding on to? I know what I want to do with my life. There's still personal agendas I'm holding on to. Is there still personal ambitions I'm holding on to? Have I truly surrendered? Have I truly met Jesus in Gethsemane and said, oh God, not my will be done, but your will be done. Lord, you choose the way you want to use my life. And even if it means a Gethsemane experience, you'll give me the grace. Because life is so short. Life is so short. God, I don't want to settle for a permissive will. I want your perfect will. And I have the guarantee that a spirit-led life is a supernatural life. And I want to see the fullness of what you can do in my life. And I want to see the fullness of what you can do through my life. What about your life? Have you truly surrendered everything? So easy to come into church and sing, I surrender all. And God's in heaven saying, really? Really? Put your life on the altar. And just trust I can raise it up in resurrection life. And I can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think, because my goodness so outweighs the cost. Amen. And I'm telling you, it's not a glum life. It's a life of incredible joy. When you actually begin to release your plans and start walking in God's plans, suddenly the light comes on and we begin to see, God, now I know why you've chosen this road for my life. Now I know why you've chosen this direction for my life. Thank you, God, for not letting me miss it. Because I see fully what you can do in my life. I see fully what you can do through my life. God, your word is true when it says he can do exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask or I can think because your goodness so outweighs the cost. Amen. God doesn't need perfect people. Say this humbly, ask my wife. Right, Jess? Whoa. She'll be the first to tell you, he is such an imperfect man. And she'll say it with love. She loves me. She loves me more every day. I believe that with all my heart. But she'll tell you, he is such an imperfect man. But he is a surrendered man. And that's why God uses him. It's called grace. Stand with me this morning. God's law of faith is whatever's offered up to him in faith will come back down in resurrection power. And I don't know who this message is for, even as I prayed. I don't know why God gives us certain messages for certain times, but I just have a confidence in my heart. So I just need to ask, you know, is there anything the Lord is speaking to you about? Is there anything you just need to release to him in faith? Is there anything you just need to give over to the Lord? And say, God, not my will be done, but your will be done. God, if this is what you're asking for, Lord, I number one, I give it to you by grace. Number two, I give it to you by faith. God, you know the road you've chosen for my life, and you know why you've chosen it. And God, if you say I'm holding on too tightly to this, or if I'm just holding on to it, and if you're saying you need to put it on an altar and trust me with it, then God, that's what I'm going to do. Even if it means losing it, that's what I'm going to do. Because your goodness so outweighs the cost. So it may be for one, it may be for many, I don't know. But as the group plays, the band plays, can we just meet the Lord in the altar? And here's what I would like to do. The Bible says that Abraham went up the mountain to worship. Could we just make this a time of worship as we bring our Isaacs to the Lord? And whether the Lord says, yeah, I see you love me more, you can keep it, or whether he says, no, put the knife in it. I'm going to make it an offering to the Lord. Because he knows that pain. You know, he gave his son on the cross. He knows what it is to make the ultimate sacrifice. So can we just make this a place of sacrifice and worship this morning? Amen. So if you feel like the Lord is speaking to your heart, drawing your heart, why don't you come meet me in the altar? And let's make the altar a place of sacrifice and worship. And then I'd like to come and pray for you.